So I hear the show's going really well.
It's fantastic. We're having a great time.
I bet, yeah. You're reprising your role. Did you ever think you'd ever come back to the part after you finished its initial run?
I absolutely did.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, absolutely. I did. And I think that was because just the play had such a positive effect on me as an actor. You know, I had a great working relationship with Kimberly, and I have a great admiration for Ayad. And as an actor, you know, you certainly don't get the opportunity to, you know, do a role like Jory, where, you know, she's just very together, she's very smart, she has a very clear arc as an actor, or as a character. So as an actor, your work is you know, very clearly laid out for you, and you can, you know, play a lot of different notes in the character and have an interesting journey through the play in a part like that. So I was very interested in bringing that role back, and, you know, just interested in Ayad as a playwright because he's, you know, very smart, intelligent, funny. You know, yeah, definitely.
Oh, so how did you find out that the show would be going coming back again?
There's so much work to get a show to a Broadway venue.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. To go, you know, in every, you know, Lance, every show, you know, you do off-Broadway. I did a play called Domesticated last year with Bruce Norris, and I did a play, a world premiere play of a Heinrich von Kleist play this past summer, and every play that you know has, you know, merit and is a wonderful working experience. You think to yourself, "Whoa, this is going to go to Broadway, and I wanted to go." You know, truly, it's a daunting task for the producers to put that together and to find the theater and etc. Yeah, I was very, very excited to you know, be a part of that whole, it was really like a 2-3 year, probably 2012, 2 year process of really finding the right theater, finding the right investors, the right actors, you know, the right, you know, set design artists, costume design artists who were available to do it. So, you know, it was a real labor of love for Araka and the Lincoln Center.
I'm sure.
Primarily Araka, who is the producer.
Now, is there a different vibe from when you did the show? You did it at Lincoln Center, right?
Yes, I did.
Is there a different vibe from doing it there to doing it now at the Lyceum?
Yes, Lance, because really the vibe is in, the vibration is in the audience.
Okay.
So there, you know, where we were doing it at Lincoln Center, there was like 110, 120 people in the theater. Now there's like 800, 900 people. So the funny moments are much funnier. The timing is much more specific with a laugh line, you know. The heavy moments are much heavier, you know. If the audience doesn't expect something, they're vocal about it, and the vocal response goes on and on. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a much bigger experience. You know, especially from the audience.
When you went back into the rehearsal room, at least for the first few days, I'm an actor too, so I don't think I've ever done a show that I've done before, but do the lines, like, automatically come back to you?
It's so amazing, yes. but it's so amazing, but because the other actor is different, in this case, you know, I'm the only actor from the Lincoln Center production that came back to this production, but there are two actors from the London production who came over to do it here. So, you know, if you're reading it with a different person, then of course your response is going to be different.
Right.
So I of course heard the line in my head as the other person was giving me their line, but when it came out of my mouth, it was automatically different because I had a different person to speak into, and their energy was coming in a different way. I mean, I think as an actor, your instrument has to be quite responsive in that way, right? Yeah. I mean, if you are hearing, hopefully you're hearing it differently every night, no matter what, but obviously you can hear it differently if it's coming out of the mouth of a different person, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm working with Josh Radner in this part, and he's, you know, kind of, you know, his experience in comedy is, you know, he's been on a TV show for 8-9 years, and so he is very, very quick with the comedy and the humor, and you know, it's quite fun working with someone who has the level of experience that he has, so lines are even funnier working with him on them, so...
I think 2 years have passed since you did the role last.
Somewhere. Yeah.
So, and I can only imagine you've just completely, you know, grown as an actress. So, what is it like to reprise the role? Are you able to mine more things and more, I guess, nuances than you were last time? You think?
Yeah, I think there were a couple of tweaks to the script when the play went to London.
Okay.
As far as Jory is concerned. And, you know, so the script that we had now is a little bit different from the script that we had at Lincoln Center. Not much, but it did grow in a very specific way as far as the relationships that are explored. One of the other... you know, challenges is, you know, the work that you did as an actor on the play, that I did on the play in 2012, I can see, oh, you know, there could be something deeper here for Jory that I didn't really see at that time. And how do I create a real human being on stage based upon this new information? Obviously, as an actor, your job is not just to create an interesting character, but to create a truthful reflection of who we are as human beings so that a person can see that and think, oh yeah, I know someone like that, or I've done that thing before. That is exactly what, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it does require that you're constantly mining through, you know, the script in a truthful way, and there's a lot of new stuff and a lot of new vulnerabilities in Jory as a character that I've been able to sort of source with the new material that Ayotte has put into play.
So how did you initially get the part? Like, what was your audition like?
Yeah, like any actor, I got the script through my agent, and I read it, and I thought, oof, this is a good script.
Do they give you the whole script, or just like your side?
They did, right? Yeah. You know, so in the theater, I don't know how much acting you do in theater there in Los Angeles lands, but here in New York, you will typically get the entire play.
That'd be great.
Yeah, no, right. In TV, we, you know, they're very closed off with the scripts as far as TV scripts are concerned, because, you know, there's just so much they want to put out there. But in theater, they give you the whole script because they really do want you to understand the arc of the character and the arc of the play. I read the play all the way through, and it's a really incredible story. And so then I went back and read my part, and I thought, well, this is a very interesting character. To be an African-American in a play where you're talking about race and identity, and you are not the center of that conversation as an African-American, is a brand new thing, Lance. It's a brand new journey as an actor to be in a play where the conversation about race and identity is about the other brown person in the play. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is 21st century post-racial society situation. And we were at the very beginning of the second term of President Obama. He had yet to be he had yet to be voted into office for a second term. So there was quite a lot of, you know, interesting, you know, social stuff that was going on at the time when I got the play. So it was very interesting to me to sort of go in and audition for this part. And I met the director and I met the playwright, and I'd had a relationship with Lincoln Center that had gone back about 4 or 5 years. I happened to work as a reader For their auditions for the incredible casting department there with Daniel Sui and Camille Hickman. And I had been in readings and you know, had done, you know, small parts and, you know, just sort of anything that could make me avail myself of this really wonderful American institution that is Lincoln Center Theater. So when this part came up, I had already established a relationship with the theater, and the director and the playwright and the casting director really liked me a lot, so I got cast in the part.
You know, I was just, finished up last week, David Mamet's Race.
Oh, yes.
And I don't, like... The show, I don't know if you've ever seen the show, but it's very funny.
I did.
It's very funny, and I would find sometimes audiences were, like, afraid to laugh.
Yeah.
Do you find that in yours? Maybe not, because they're bigger audiences than I'm sure.
Well, you know, the audiences are warmed up to the comedy from the very beginning, because it's just a very entertaining play. It's, you know... I think they find that they're quite surprised that they are taken in emotionally when, you know, the bigger emotional moments happen, because they have been laughing so hard. The characters have endeared themselves to the audience. They absolutely forget certain things that have happened in the world of the play that have been embedded so... cleanly, that when it pops back up at an emotional moment where it's very heightened, they're like, oh, that's right, that thing, you know, where he broke the glass, that was, you know what I mean, like, so I think they're very surprised at how responsive they are to the heightened moments. And I saw David Mamet Race on Broadway with Kerry Washington and
Dave Allen Greer, James Spader.
James Spader and Richard Thomas.
Right, yes.
Right, yeah. And you played James Spader's role or David Allen Greer's role?
I played Richard Thomas's role.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
I know. Yeah, it was great. And you know what? I hadn't done theater in years, and since I'm originally from the East Coast, Maryland, and I hadn't done a show in years, and it was just so so addicting, you know, again. Now I want to do it again, do another show.
And what was that like, the response in Los Angeles? I don't know what theater you guys did that.
Actually, I did it down in San Diego.
Okay.
You know, it was...
What is that down there? Center? What is that down there?
Oh, there's a bunch of theaters. I did it at a place called Different Stages.
Okay, Different Stages, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, it was... During the matinee audiences, there were some chuckles, you know, and then evening audiences, especially as we did the run went further. I don't know if word got out or whatever, but, like, our last audience was just terrific, you know, laughing the whole way.
That's great.
Yeah, so it was fun. So... Yeah, and then I come to New York all the time, or like two times a year, and I see all these as many shows as I can, and I'm just like, ugh. So yeah, I love talking to theater people. So
it is that highest sort of level of immediate gratification and also interactive audience response. I think in TV and film, you can sort of take for granted that the audience is the other cast member as a part of the viewing of whatever story that you're telling. TV and film, they're obviously very quiet. You stay disconnected from the audience until your show, you know, either comes up on network TV or, you know, the movie comes out in theaters. But in a theater, it's sort of like a religious experience almost. You can really feel the ups and downs.
Oh, it's so terrific. Yeah.
Navigating it. Yeah.
You grew up in, I think, Mississippi, I read?
Yeah, that's right. I was born in Mississippi. I stayed there for a couple of years before I moved to Nashville, Tennessee.
So how did you get from there to New York? Besides driving, of course, I'm sure.
I remember driving from Nashville. I went to Chicago and went to school at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois,
okay,
where I studied voice and opera. And I, of course, wanted to go in the music industry and be a singer, and I ended up, you know, doing a lot of that in Chicago with the dance music and met a bunch of producers and very successful and famous folks, and eventually met one producer who said to me, if you want to make it, you're going to have to go to New York. And I'm known in my life as a risk taker. That's one of the things that I typically will, I'm one of those things I'm known for, famous for. Is that I'm one of those people that's like, oh, something has to get done and no one else can do it? I'll take it, you know, I'll take it on. So I got in my car and put my cat in the back seat and all of my possessions and, you know, had visited New York City once before to make sure I had a place to stay. I became an au pair, and that started my journey as a New Yorker.
What was your first? Yeah. What was your first like acting gig in New York?
Oh, that came many, many years later. Did I worked it? In the music. I worked in the music industry when I first
came
to New York City. I was a singer, so. But I got very disillusioned working in that Lance because at the time it was very corporate. And now it's like even more so, you know, corporate. But I really wanted an avenue to self-expression, to a purposeful, meaningful artistic life. And I had lots of money and, you know, a great life. But I was miserable. I was miserable. So I left all that and auditioned for grad school and got into NYU graduate acting. And in 2004, and I started my career as an actor in 2007. So literally like 4 or 5 years as a musician, singer, and that sort of thing in New York. And then I graduated from NYU in 2007. So took me a good, you know, 7, 8 years to get into acting. But once I did, yeah.
I think you're pretty successful at it. I'm not gonna lie.
It's funny because it isn't my first career, right? It's actually my second career, and in between there, I've had 2 children. I'm a single mom now, and it's probably been the most exhilarating ride of my life, being an actor, and figuring out how to juggle it and make it work, and I'm having a great time.
I can only imagine, man. Okay, 2 more questions. What is your worst audition?
My worst audition. Oh, I just blank those out of my mind. I think my worst audition was probably when I went in for a show. Where I couldn't find my note. That's one of those musical. My worst auditions ever are those auditions where, you know, you go in, you sing great, you have a great reading, and then they're like, okay. And the next part of the audition process is the dance call. And you're like, what? And I can dance. I mean, I study dance. I'm a good dancer. But, like, the whole dance call audition stuff is just like your nightmare chorus line, you know, situation. Any audition where I have a dance call and I have to, like, keep up with choreography that I learn, like, in 10 minutes is my worst audition experience. I've only had to do that maybe 2, 3 times, believe it or not.
God love people who can do that. I don't know how anybody... I've tried to do that before, too, and I'm just humiliated.
It's horrible! I mean, put me on a dance floor, I'm good. Like, in the club, I gotcha, okay? I'm with you. We're 100%, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. I even do a little Jory dance in Disgraced, right? Like, I'm you know, Jory doesn't dance, and, you know, there's no dancing. But, you know, like, I got my Jory rhythm there, you know? But, like, a dance call? No.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am with you on that. And finally, what is your advice to actors?
About?
Oh, in general, just, I guess starting out, I guess we could go there.
Actors starting out, Starting out, oh, this is always a tough one. This is always a tough one. I just feel so tricked out about giving advice because it's so hard being an actor. It's just so hard, and often advice comes out like judgment.
Right.
Don't do this. Don't do that. And don't, you know, and you should. And, you know, best advice is be gentle with yourself through the process.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, that's all I got. I mean, be gentle. Be kind to yourself.
Well, I love talking to you, and I seriously could talk to you for another 2 hours or something. But
thanks, Lance.